Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on Unlocking India's Green Hydrogen Potential. The participants are Utpal Bhaskar, Senior Journalist, and Sonu Sood, Anchor.
Addressing the inaugural session of the 3rd International Conference on Green Hydrogen, ICGH 2025 at Bharat Mandapam, New Delhi, Union Minister for New and Renewable Energy, Shri Prahlad Joshi, said, "The National Green Hydrogen Mission, NGHM, is accelerating India's clean energy shift and creating jobs, attracting investments and positioning India as a global hub for green hydrogen." On this very specialized and important issue for the discussion on various aspects of it, we have with us senior journalist Utpal Bhaskar. A warm welcome to you, Mr. Bhaskar, on Akashvani.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Bhaskar, you know, this National Green Hydrogen Mission, which Union Minister Prahlad Joshi talked about today in the conference on green hydrogen. First of all, we'd like to know from you, for the benefit of our listeners, what is green hydrogen? Why is it being considered so important for the energy ecosystem of not only India, but the world?
If you look at green hydrogen, is nothing. It's basically you produce hydrogen from renewable energy sources, which do not contribute towards emission. And obviously, hydrogen then also is graded into various color schemes. It's kind of a bit blur out there. Green is something which does not contribute to emissions. And you break down water, you use an electrolyzer, you use solar or wind. Primarily, those are the sources which are being used and being talked about. In fact, one of the things that your listeners might also might be interested would be, why green hydrogen per se? What is the need for this? Ultimately, at the crux of the issue is energy security. If you look at India today, around more than 85% of our crude oil is imported. Gas will be more than around 50-odd%. What it essentially does is, in a position which no country would like to be in, it does not produce enough of the energy to fuel its economy. If you look at India, has become a refining hub in this part of the world. Most of what we have been importing, also some part of it gets refined and being shipped across to other economies as well. But our mobility is dependent upon imported fuel, so the petrol and the diesel, which is HST and MS. While there has been a certain move towards electric vehicles, we still are primarily an import-dependent energy economy. We have seen what other economies have done. If you look at, take a case of a Japan or a Korea, some part of gas is also imported in the country, which is then fuels your LNG, will be then refueling your power projects. There's a city gas distribution as well. It is used for as a fuel for cooking food. In all of this, green hydrogen has come out, and is this a silver bullet? Yes or no? Well, needs to be seen, and the proof of the pudding is eating it. But interestingly, all the building blocks are in place in this country. You have this large stretches of land which are not used for agriculture, where these solar power projects are being set up, solar, wind, other. Obviously, right now we are not only talking about plain solar and wind projects, even the trajectory has moved on that as well. There are the round-the-clock power supply being talked about, battery storage projects. Also, it then lends itself to the concept of green hydrogen, wherein you use all which is out there to offer. If you look at this kind of a 5 million metric ton of green hydrogen production being targeted by 2030, the mission is expected to attract over 8 trillion rupee in investments and also reduce our fossil fuel imports by more than 1 trillion rupee. And it's not only about the money part of it. Mm-hmm. We have seen what has happened, how the world out there is at play. Recently, there was this incident in West Asia, where Strait of Hormuz there was a threat over whether our supply lines will be choked or not. Imagine a country like ours, with an economy like ours, with a population base like ours, would we want to be held ransom to the exigencies which are not in our control? So in such a scenario, green hydrogen is a viable alternative. And as I said earlier, there can be different ways to look at it. Obviously, benefits of around 6 lakh jobs, reducing your fuel import bill, also containing your greenhouse gas emissions. There is a larger strategic play at work here as well.
So you would say that it's a win-win situation, both for the economic situation of the country, the fiscal situation of our economy, as well as for preserving the environment of our country and of the world, in fact, because what we are aiming is to make India a global hub for green hydrogen, not only production, but also exports.
Yeah, so the idea here is to you not only produce to meet your domestic consumption, you also export these molecules to other geographies as well. There have been some initial contracts that have been signed by the private sector companies. Now, because the targets are pretty ambitious, and interestingly, India as a country offers us this opportunity to do things on scale. There is no other country in the world where this can be tried on a level like this. So if you look at around by May, around 19 companies, they have been allocated this cumulative annual production capacity of 862,000 tons. But at the end of the day, there are also the certain things that we need to absolutely get a handle on. So for example, our electrolyzer manufacturing capacity, you need an electrolyzer to break H2O, and then you need electrolyzers there. Do we have the quantum of electrolyzers in the country? There is certain work which has already been done. If you look at green hydrogen mission as well, so it's like while the quantum, the numbers that we've talked about, they're huge. The green hydrogen mission has an initial corpus of around 20,000 odd crore.
Right.
So there has to be, and the, also the other thing is that as it's been happening in sector after sector, the government can only set up, the create that kind of an ecosystem, the enabling provisions. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, a lot of this work has to be done by the private sector. Sarkar cannot be there in everything because then that defeats the very purpose of a free market economy. So at the end of the day, there has to be a certain amount of investment. So while we have seen some traction happening, say, at the Chidambaram port as well, there has, because obviously all this quantum, it has to be utilized somewhere. Where do you use it? So you will be using it in primarily, say, in industrial use. So they will be for fertilizers, for refining in our refineries. Okay. As I said, India has become the refining hub of this part of the world. In steel, green steel is something, because if you look at the standards which have been put in place by European Union and other developed economies, it's not that you are using inefficient sources of energy, polluting sources of energy to produce our products elsewhere in the world. And then you ship it to the Western economies where they are very particular about the kind of emission standards that need to be met. So then your entire manufacturing ecosystems becomes unviable because your input does not have green sources of energy, green hydrogen being one of them. Also, it has to come into mobility, road transport, shipping. For bunker fuel, you can use green hydrogen. This is something which can absolutely work for that sector as well. And as I said, enabling framework, the government provides, investment has to come in. While there will be large state-owned companies like an ONGC or an NTPC or an Indian Oil or others, there has to be adequate private sector participation as well. Because we have seen n number of times that private sector has taken a backseat in investing. That is the missing block. While we see initial interest, but they have to complete the entire trajectory.
So you feel that it's a very, very collaborative mission where the government is providing the facilitation and, of course, infrastructure, the policy incentives, and the private sector has also equal involvement is there. Clean energy technology ties with, you know, other countries like EU, UK, Germany, Singapore. Feel that that is also very important collaboration on the technology level?
In fact, let me first break this down into two parts. On the policy framework part, the government of India has given this waiver of interstate transmission charges.
Right.
So that is absolutely, your transmission charges get taken care of. Mm-hmm. You have just large swathes of land in Rajasthan and Gujarat in the desert areas where you set up your generation projects, you wheel in the electricity, or you can wherever the project economics works for you. On the technology part of it, yes, let's also be conscious of the fact that India, the kind of work which has been done in green energy in this country, there is only one other country on this scale this would have been done, which is obviously China. And China has taken a lead into in everything because they've had this head start. In fact, one of the things that one also needs to understand is that are we setting up these large missions? And we, so for example, for solar, your modules, if they still are coming from China. So ultimately, at the end of the day, there is an outgo, a country's money going towards another country. There are a lot of Indian companies which are manufacturing modules. We also need to go the entire value chain. So it's not only modules. We need to do ingots, wafers, cells, and then capture value at every stage. So that is one part of it. You cannot just replace one form of energy with another without ensuring the strategic security of that. some of our engineering colleges and research institutions have been working on it. Obviously, we need to come up with more efficient sourcing as well. At the end of the day, when we talk about setting up large capacities, both in solar and wind and other clean energy sources, space, whatever form of energy there is, it has to serve the strategic and energy security interest of India.
Absolutely. Participation of the private sector. In fact, rupees 100 crores have already been sanctioned for startups under the mission. And Ray Shri Joshi, you know, he said that the ministry will invite proposals for pilot projects using biomass and waste materials to produce green hydrogen. And a total of 100 crore rupees has again been allocated for these pilots. How important is this?
Right. Anything which is green, any form of energy is welcome, provided you are not dependent on any external factor or there is some large global player, does some blockade somewhere. Anything which comes from outside is going to impact you. So it always makes sense. So whatever sources of energy are present within the country gets leveraged and utilized. Also, as I said, there is some work which has already done. So those first green hydrogen hubs are being identified. There's a Deen Dayal port is there, Paradip port is there, and Chidambaram is there. And obviously this will help. All global shipping lines will have to burn efficient sources of fuel. If they don't do that, they will not be able to do business. India, geographically, we are situated at a very interesting point. Why don't we fuel these ships? Why don't we fuel that this enormous armada which keeps on floating by us? Why don't we capture these markets? If you produce at scale, you'll be able to make it very, very competitively priced.
So as you said, their potential is huge and there are emerging hydrogen hubs near ports like Paradip, Kandla or Tuticorin, and the export market has a lot of potential. But at the same time, you know, the biggest country of the world has put energy transition on the back burner. So you feel that there are a lot of challenges in the global situation right now, which might delay meeting target by, say, 1 or 2 years?
At the crux of everything lies, where is the money going to come from? India has a very unique advantage. Apart from anything else, we have this large population base. And obviously, once the census gets in, we will get the latest numbers. We have seen electricity getting into the villages, which was Har Ghar Bijli, which was a campaign. I think this was a scheme which was run. Almost every village in this country had access to electricity. Now, obviously, when you have access to electricity, the initial consumption loads will be lower. Then over a period of time, you will be using it. Other end usages will come into play. We have seen what has happened in some of these countries. It hasn't been nuclear is coming back into play. But in all of this, what India happens to be proverbial slip between the lip and the cup. And one should be very cautious of that fact. At the end of the day, whether this play pans out the way all plans look very nice and interesting on paper, the proof is whether how will it pan out. We have already seen this around 197 gigawatt of solar and wind is out there. There will be a time when your load, electricity load in household, industrial, commercial will be met by this. Then you also need other sectors where this will be utilized. Green hydrogen fits that bill. Money, obviously, at the end of it, it all boils down to if you are able to produce these green molecules, how competitive is the finance as well? So while we might be talking about exporting some of this to Singapore and elsewhere, the biggest demand load centers will be in India.
Absolutely. As Union Minister Prahlad Joshi said, National Green Hydrogen Mission is accelerating India's clean energy shift and positioning India as a global hub for green hydrogen. We end this discussion. Thank you so much, Mr. Bhaskar, for throwing light on the various aspects of Green Hydrogen Mission.
Thanks a lot.
You were listening to a discussion on Unlocking India's Green Hydrogen Potential. The participants were Utpal Bhaskar, Senior Journalist, and Sonu Sood, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp us on 92-8909-4044.
Spotlight.